Hello and welcome to Let's Talk IVF. Our aim is to cut through the overwhelming amount of clinical information and give you a clearer understanding about the science, the emotional impact, and everything in between. Hosted by Sophia Beziotto, a scientist with 25 years of experience in the field of fertility, we want to thank you for listening. Now, let's get started.
So hello, and today I am talking to Ella Mannix. Now, Ella has a background in agency recruitment and human resources, primarily in talent acquisition. But most recently, Ella is putting together the debut of All About Fertility Expo in Sydney. Now, this is happening in August, on the 17th of August, and we're all very excited to talk to Ella. And I thought we'd take the opportunity to hear a little bit more about Ella's story. So Ella, hello and welcome.
Hi, Sophia. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you for being here. Now, please explain, where is your gorgeous accent from?
So you may have guessed, I am from the UK. I am from London, although people from London back home think that my accent's disappearing. So I'm glad that you can hear that I am from England.
It takes a while to disappear. I know everyone in the UK will think you're sounding very Australian. And where did you meet your wonderful husband?
So I met him in Australia. I have been here for 9 years and I met him about 3 years ago online. So we have a modern day love story.
A modern day love story. Everyone loves a love story, an online love story. Perfect. 3 years ago. So when did you decide to start a family?
So being older, so I'm in my 40s, and I think when you're in your 40s, you sort of know what you're looking for. So I knew that I went online to look for a husband.
That's
wasn't playing games.
That's wonderful. Well, you're a woman that knows what you want. That's the perfect, perfect way to get online.
Process of elimination. So yeah, I knew what I was looking for, and I set myself a time frame of a year, because you know, you have to go through that whole process of meeting people, lots of first dates. So I was expecting that, but he popped up like within a year, in a week, when I had signed up. And yeah, we instantly hit it off and we clicked, and we spent hours on the phone the first evening, because he was living in Sydney, I was living in Melbourne. So I think we must have spent 5.5 hours on the telephone just talking about everything and anything. And that's when he had told me that he had cancer and he had treatment, and it just was all very quick, and he wasn't able to save any sperm. And so with all the treatment that he was going through, it left him infertile. So he told me that on the first phone call, so it was a lot to take in. But you know, he's such a great guy, and it was just this one little thing that was getting in the way of, you know, family life. And nowadays there's so many things that you can do anyway to, you know, be a parent. So that wasn't a concern really. I just needed to wrap my head around that, you know, whether we would go for adoption or sperm donor. So that's all things that I had to think about.
And so you met him quite quickly online, and you went there to find a relationship, because you obviously wanted to have a family. So how long did it take you to sort of get your head around all of that, knowing that you've met this incredible man and that, you know, he couldn't have a family with? How long did it take you to actually seek help from a clinic and get your sort of head around the whole concept that you're going to have to parent, become a parent in a different way?
So, look, I was very fortunate that I actually worked in, while I was in Melbourne, I was working for Epworth Hospital, and I was doing the sales and marketing for their medical imaging division. And it meant that I was able to access a lot of doctors and specialists. And one of the areas that is quite predominant in Epworth is their IVF, because Melbourne IVF is based in Epworth. So I had access to a lot of specialists, and specialists who were into, you know, male infertility. So I had a chat with them, and, you know, just so I could understand it and work my head around the way how the whole process is. So I had a lot of help, and it was a year basically, before we even started thinking about, okay, maybe we should have an appointment with a specialist.
A year. So then, and then you already had this group around you with the specialists and the clinic. So how did you make that final decision about the clinic and specialists? You had the people around you. How did you choose a specialist, though? Was there something unique you were looking for in a specialist when you were choosing a doctor?
Yeah. So because I was living in Melbourne and my husband was living in Sydney, I actually moved. So within that year, so we dated for a year and then I moved to Sydney. So it meant that I didn't know any specialists here or had any recommendations. So I just had to go online and I researched for about a year all of my options and ring all of the clinics to see what my options were. Now, there was only a few that actually had the sperm donation outlets, and one of them was IVF Australia. And they have a reputable name in the market. Obviously, I knew them from Melbourne IVF, so they were affiliated. And I went to a evening that they were holding in the city. So both Joe and I attended, and we met Gavin Sachs, who was our specialist. Now, he's also English, with a very dry sense of humour.
Perfect.
So I think that's what instantly what attracted us. And he was really down to earth. So we decided to make an appointment with him because I had met enough specialists and doctors in my previous job to know who I would actually get on with and what I wanted from a specialist. And that was just understanding, knowing our situation. And, you know, it was great that he was English because that's something that we could relate to.
And that's perfect. And it's good that you had a good sense of humour and you could actually connect that way, because I think a lot of the time when you are dealing with specialists, you know, you want to have that sort of connection or a little bit of rapport with them, because it is a very personal journey, especially when you're doing the sort of the donor. And, you know, it just involves so many other aspects that you probably hadn't considered when you thought about starting this journey. So to have that good rapport with your specialist, I think it's really, really important.
Yeah. I think, you know, the biggest thing that and for both my husband and I, we really had to connect with them because, you know, we're trusting him to give us a result. And I think if I didn't trust him, then, you know, maybe this process wouldn't have worked. I don't know. But, you know, maybe I was one of the lucky ones because we had the IVF and, you know, it worked the first time. So I'm very fortunate. And, you know, it could be many factors, who knows? But, you know, one of the things that I was grateful for was our relationship and, you know, and that I completely trusted him.
That's really
funny. So I was completely relaxed.
It is a really, really good thing to have. Actually, one of the specialists that I worked with when I was working as an embryologist, he would have everyone in fits of laughter, and he was one of the most popular doctors around. Everyone wanted to go and see him. It may have been his Scottish accent as well. He had that Scottish accent that, you know, everyone sort of is drawn to. But he was also incredibly funny. So many, many people just, you know, love to go and chat to him, but he put everyone at ease. So that humor and the ability to gain rapport with people very, very quickly, just it puts everyone at ease. Now, Ella, so you're from the UK. How did you cope? Did you have any emotional support when you were going through your cycle here?
You know, it's quite difficult because, you know, my family's back home. And, you know, I think one of the things that I was aware of, that I didn't want to get anybody's hopes up, because, you know, you, as well as, you know, your specialist telling you that, or as much as you want it to be a positive result at the end of it, you know, you're still getting messages from your specialist, and, you know, it might not work the first time round. You could be going through this, you know, cycle like one, two, three, four times before you see a result. So I didn't want to get anybody's hopes up, but I did, you know, I told my mother and my sister, and I still didn't think they actually really understood that whole process, because they've never had, you know, they don't know anybody who's going through it.
And I think because there's the distance factor as well, Ella, because they weren't here. If they're not here, then they can't see what you're going through, the injections and the appointments. And if there's that whole distance, that separation thing that sort of doesn't allow them to relate as much as they would if they were here for you.
Exactly. So, you know, look, my main support and my anchor was my husband, to be honest. You know, we were in it together through thick and thin. And I really, truly have to say, I thought I would have, you know, the whole mood swings and be really emotional and up and down. But I was actually really fine.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yeah, I was actually fine, and we had such a great time with the whole process. And I really have to say, I was quite excited. I was excited to see what my body was able to do, and how my body was going to react to all of these drugs. So I was actually really interested to see how I was going to cope, and it was just the whole process to me was extremely exciting.
Well, that's an incredible way to, it's an incredible way to describe it, Ella, because as you said, like, the specialist did forewarn you about the multiple cycles, and, you know, that's more common than, you know, having one cycle and being successful straight away. So you are really the exception to the rule. It does happen for some people, but for a lot of people, they are having more than one cycle. So you're incredibly, incredibly lucky. Now, I think you did mention to me at one stage that you did have some extra support. Now, did you have a coach when you were going through your cycle?
I did. Admittedly, she was a careers coach. So I had a careers coach, and we were working through some business ideas and working through my progression within the company. So it was great. And then when we decided to go through IVF, then she, you know, she really did guide me along, you know, just processing the whole journey, really. So it was great to have that extra person to talk to that wasn't my husband.
Absolutely. That extra support person is incredible. And the thing is, what I think most people sort of don't realize is that when you are working with a coach, now yours was a business coach, but when you start to make progress in any area of your life, it could be business, career, you know, any area, there's a ripple effect. It flows on to every area of your life. So even though you might have been primarily focusing on business, having that extra support person and actually having someone else, as you said, to talk to apart from your husband is absolute gold. It is incredible that you actually had that support, and it was exactly at the right time. So that's really great news.
Good.
Now, what advice would you give to other women who were thinking about having a family when they're older? What advice would you give to them?
You know, I didn't, you know, expect to have a child in my 40s. You know, I thought it was going to be way earlier. But again, you know, when you don't meet that right person, it can be, you know, quite stressful and you want to hurry up. But I just felt it was the time. And I just think that, and I know it's so difficult because, you know, I've spoken to a lot of women who in their 40s who are unable to fall pregnant. And you know, one thing that they don't like to say or hear people say is relax, it will happen.
Yes, relaxing is never a good thing to say to a woman.
Relax, it will happen, go on holiday, you know, it will happen when you least expect it. That's the advice that people don't want to hear.
Absolutely. It's not very helpful. I think that well-meaning people that possibly don't have the words that they need to be giving at the time, and that's the best that they can come up with. So older women, and I think as yourself as well, I guess, Ella, when you are a career woman and you are, you know, it's happening more and more that people are concentrating on their careers. They're traveling and they're working on their careers. So it ends up that it's, you know, Mr. Right or Mrs. Right does not pop into their lives until later.
Right.
So in that instance, and I've had some conversations with people about this recently, about fertility screening, thinking about the prospect of actually freezing eggs and sperm when you're younger, you know, in your 20s, yeah. just in case. And there's never any guarantee. There's never any guarantee with any of that. And I was reading somewhere today about the 10-year freezing time frame. So after 10 years, you're only supposed to freeze your gametes for 10 years. And then after that, they're discarded or they're supposed to be discarded, which I guess if you are considering that whole, you know, fertility option of maybe freezing something when you're in your mid-20s, that's that you kind of run out of time by your mid-30s. Yeah. But yes, no, that's a very interesting sort of concept, having a child when you're older. And obviously then you have to consider different avenues, as you had to yourself, as different options as you get older. Back to your job, what were you doing before you became a mum? Now, you said you were working in Melbourne and then in Sydney. Was that in HR? Where were you working?
So my background is recruitment. So I worked with, on the agency side, recruiting for creatives and marketing, and then moved to Melbourne from London and did the same thing. But then after, about 2 years, I decided that that wasn't the path that I really wanted to take. So I tried something else. And that's when I went to Epworth. So it was the same concept, but, you know, instead of selling people, I was selling a service, and that was medical imaging.
Fantastic.
So I think, you know, it gave me a whole, you know, different... I'd never stepped into a medical imaging place in my life until then. Never had an X-ray. So it was a completely different world.
Fabulous. Now, I guess even that medical background, what actually did that contribute to this creation of the All About Fertility Expo? I understand your journey, maybe even some of that medical background. So what prompted you to put this expo together in Sydney?
So, I mean, as I said, you know, I spent a year researching our options, whether we do IUI or ICSI, what was the best option, what, you know, sperm clinic would we go to. But I also looked into Chinese herbalists and acupuncture. I looked at dietary needs. I looked at a whole spectrum, you know, so I went on a complete health kick during that year, just so I could be the fittest, strongest that I was going to be going through IVF, because I knew that the amount of... Because I'm not a person who takes medicine, so it was going to be something foreign in my body, and I just felt that I had to be my healthiest to process all of that. So I had, you know, went to the doctors, I got all my bloods done, you know, so they told me what my levels of, you know, my vitamin levels were, my iron levels were, which were completely low. I didn't realize I was so anemic. So I had to get all of that to certain levels. So I had all of this research that I did while I was, you know, preparing myself. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I've done so much research. Where, you know, maybe I could create a group that, you know, support other women going through the same thing, and tried that, didn't really work. And then I went back home to the UK and didn't realise that in the UK they have the fertility show, which has been running for about 10 years, and everything fell into place.
Absolutely. Like, the penny dropped, so to speak.
The penny dropped, yeah. And I was like, that's, you know, exactly what I need. That's exactly what we need over here. We need that support, because... If I, you know, I while I was pregnant, I remember going to the baby show when we were getting married. I went to the wedding expo. So, you know, there's all these expos. We were buying a house. We go to the home show. So why not have an exhibition that is all about fertility? And this is not just people who need a little bit of help from science. This is thinking about having children. Okay, what do we do?
That's I'm listening to your story now, Ella, and I'm realizing why you actually it all fell into place for you the first cycle, because you were so ready. You looked at every single aspect of your life, your health, your lifestyle factors, your blood, you know, the levels of everything in your blood. You modified everything to be the best version of you possible, and at the same time you had a business coach who was working on your mindset. Might have been for your career, but it looks like you actually were in that marathon a year before you actually had the treatment, which is why I would dare say that you had such a successful first cycle, because you were so incredibly ready. Mind, body, spirit, you'd been working on it for the last year.
So true.
And that's incredible. It's an incredible story. Now, about the expo, tell me, who is coming and what can we expect from this event?
So, you know, I'm really excited about this expo because it is the first fertility exhibition in Australia. And, you know, we're launching, as you said, in Sydney on the 17th of August. Now, the big thing, obviously, when people think fertility is IVF. So, you know, the IVF clinics will be there, as well as the naturopaths who deal with natural pregnancies, because I just wanted to include everybody in this, so no one's excluded. There'll be booths on adoption, foster care. There will be someone talking about surrogacy law. I think that in Australia, some people are quite confused when it comes to surrogacy, what the laws are and what's illegal and what's legal. So it's great that someone's going to come along and have a chat about surrogacy law. And there will be stores on alternative medicines and therapies such as acupuncture, Chinese herbalists. Yeah, so, and then I'm hoping on the fun side of things, where there's a lot of talk around fertility gifts, so the milestone cards and jewellery and little, you know, baby grows and things like that.
Okay, Ella, now, is there any other special events that are going to be happening at the expo?
Yeah, so what people can also expect. Now, I was very conscious that I didn't want to have an event that is just an expo where you see, you know, lots of booths and lots of people. I want it to be a real community feel where people feel supported. So I wanted to create a safe environment where people can sit down, have a cuppa, and relax and connect with other people who are going through the same thing. Now, we all know that fertility is a really sensitive issue, and it's a sensitive topic for people to talk about. So I've created an area called Couch Time. So it's separate from the exhibition, and it's in another room. It will be decked out like a lounge where, you know, you're able to sit down in your comfort zone and listen to real people talk about their journey.
That sounds incredible. Much the same like we're doing today.
Correct.
And just to hear other people's stories. As I said to you, I think that listening to other people's stories, it demystifies and just removes some of that taboo almost about talking about fertility issues. There's almost still, to a large extent, especially in the workforce, a stigma about talking about anything to do with fertility issues. And I think the more stories that are out there and the more people that are talking about it, the better it is for everyone, because they realize just how common it is, and that there is always someone going through exactly what they are going through.
Correct. You know, if just that one person says, oh my goodness, you know, it's not just me, then the expo's done its job.
And I'm
someone's connected.
And I'm sure you'll be having a lot of those moments with people, but the Couch Time sounds absolutely wonderful, and I'm certain that people are going to relate to those stories on so many levels, both men and women, because let's face it, if the women aren't talking about it, and I know there's forums for the talk, I think the men are talking about it even less. So to have that ability to sit down with a cuppa and just, you know, relax and listen to other people's stories, I think that may very well be the highlight of your expo.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, it's again, creating that community feel where people can sit down, relax and connect and network with people. Yeah, so
That sounds wonderful. It sounds like it's going to be such an epic event. And I'm really loving the fact that you're including everything. So the acupuncture, the herbalist, the naturopath, the, you know, the IVF clinics, the whole lot. I think it's going to be such an incredible event. And the one-stop shop for anyone who's thinking even remotely about fertility. And it could be like yourself. It might be a year down the track they're thinking about fertility. But what a great place to go and have it all in the one venue. I think it'd be fantastic. Now, do you think there'll be a national tour, Ella, of the expo?
There will be a national tour, absolutely. I'm in talks with venues in Melbourne at the moment, so we're hoping Melbourne will achieve October event for Melbourne, and then Brisbane will take place in 2020. Very exciting.
That's fantastic. It's such good news for, as I said, everyone, whether they're thinking about it, whether they're in that environment at the moment, actually trying to conceive. It's pretty much got something for everyone. Okay, so I will get I will put the details of the website, of the Facebook page, etc., in the show notes. Now, a little bit of a personal question, Ella. What are you reading at the moment? What book are you reading?
So I wish I could say I'm reading something very intelligent and completely focused and business-minded, etc. But I'm actually reading a cookbook for babies and toddlers.
That's fantastic. Is it a good cookbook? What sort of a cookbook is it?
It's a River Cottage cookbook for babies and toddlers. But I'm just really stuck in a rut at the moment. My daughter's one, and so she's just experiencing all these tastes. And, you know, I was cooking her meals, and she wasn't actually enjoying them. So I was like, oh, my God, I've got to buy a cookbook.
That's hilarious. So,
yeah, that's what I'm eating.
It's hilarious that you're doing this at one. Can you imagine when you've got a fussy 5, 10, 15-year-old?
Oh, I can't imagine.
That's beautiful. Now, okay, one last question before you go. Okay, now I ask this of everyone I speak to. So when was the last time that you did something for the first time, Ella, and what was it?
Oh, that's a bit of a hard one. I can only think about when I went back to the gym after having my daughter. I was always at cardio, so I spun a lot. So lots of spin classes and body combat. And I tried weights for the first time.
Okay. How did you find that?
My body ached, I have to say.
But a good kind of pain.
It's really built my strength. And there's this whole thing at the moment, this whole, fitness is changing its head at the moment. And it's all about body conditioning and not just about cardio and building strength in your body. So the weights, I'm converted to weights. So that was the first time.
Excellent. And you're going to be looking amazing, I'm sure, doing all this weight training. Well, look, Ella, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. That's like your story is amazing, and I'm so happy that you could share that with us, because I think every story that is told, and especially all the preparation you did for your cycle, that's absolutely incredible. And I'll put the links to your website and the Facebook page, and if anyone is going to be in Sydney on the 17th of August, they should get along to the All About Fertility Expo.
Fantastic. Yes, absolutely. It's going to be a fun day, and there's going to be lots to do while you're there.
I'm sure there will be. I look forward to seeing you there, Ella. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. Cheers.
Thanks, Ella.
Thanks for joining us, and we hope you learned something new today. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at www.ivfcoachingclinic.com.au or our Facebook page, IVF Coaching Clinic, where you can talk to Sophia directly and find out more information about coaching and how it can assist you further. Until next time.